I'm going to invite you into a scripture reading that is going to come in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. This is exactly what Rick was inviting us into this morning. It's John chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 6 and go through verse 10. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called The Message this morning. That's the one you'll see projected, but I encourage you to follow along with your favorite translation. But again, the Gospel of John chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 6, continue through verse 10. I invite you to hear these words. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So Jesus tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep are rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to him. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. Will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have life, real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Everlasting God, we do give you thanks. This morning for the words that you are speaking in our midst. And I pray and ask, O God, that as we have come together this morning, that your Holy Spirit may meet us, that you will bring these words to life. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart and into my life. And I pray and ask, O God, that as I preach this morning, the words that I share, that they may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. You know, in the midst of all that we have sung about, in the midst of all that has led us to this moment when I am standing here, I'm really grateful. Really grateful for all those signs that have pointed us toward that light. That light that we do recognize that rose at the birth of Jesus, that guided the wise men, but also those voices and those choruses of angels and others that led Mary and Joseph to that place where Christ was born. And in the midst of this, in the midst of where we are this morning, in the midst of what has brought us to this place this morning, I wonder about this, that as overshadowing and as life-changing as those experiences were a couple thousand years, several thousand years ago, 2,000 years ago, in fact, that they were for both wise men, for shepherds, for Mary, for Elizabeth, and all those others that experienced the birth of Jesus. What is it? What is it about you? What is it about the kind of spiritual life that you imagine in a brand new year? What is the kind of plan that you have to say, you know what? Much like it was with everything that has led us to this place, much like it was with the wise men who left and followed that star, bringing their own gifts, what's going to be your plan for an above average, amazing spiritual life in 2026? And what I think is that oftentimes, is that we sort of have these kinds of average, you know, thinking, these kinds of average plans that we sort of put together, and then we find out that we, with our average thinking, with our average plans, we find out that we get average results, which is fine for the most part. It's fine for us when we're just sort of moving and sort of coasting through life, but then when something does touch us, when something does come up and we struggle a little bit, then we think, I wish that there was something else. I wish that there was something that would take me from just an average kind of spiritual life, an ordinary kind of spiritual life, a normal kind of spiritual life, to something that was, well, something that would help me to stand in this moment, something that would help me to face this moment in particular. And you know that as the trio was singing here, and as they were bringing to life in a wonderful way this reading that comes out of John chapter ten, and they were talking about that gentle shepherd who is leading us. You know, that gentle shepherd that comes and leads us. We love that, right? We love the idea of a gentle shepherd that is going to be there, Even if we haven't made a spiritual plan for a new year, even if we haven't really thought about what's going to take me above average, we're excited because we always think that general shepherd's going to be there. But yet another part of that, a very real part of that reading, is the idea of an adversary, the idea of a thief, the idea of the devil that is there that really doesn't lead us in a gentle way. You probably heard this expression that the devil made me do it. Jesus would sort of agree with that. Jesus would sort of agree with our lack of preparing for an above average spiritual life, for a lack of preparing to really go in depth with the presence of God that is in front of us. Jesus would sort of say, that's right. Now, the devil didn't just find us, lingering around and then all of a sudden sit us down and make us do it. But Jesus would say that what we are able to get caught up in sometimes is what the devil is doing in our world. And that is the idea that Jesus says that the devil has come, that the thief has come, that the adversary has come to do three things: to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, Robert and I, this morning, we were having this conversation about what we know, what we've learned, and what we know over time. And so would it be fair to say that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy? Do all of us know that? This is exactly what I'm not talking about. Do you know it on a spiritual level? Do you know it in theological depth? I'm just saying very basically, literally, is that brand new news to you? That in the Bible, it says that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Does everybody know that? Do we all? Yeah, it would be helpful if I could see your heads nod at least. And this is a conversation, you know, what is it that we know? What is it that we know together like this? And so that's probably not earth-shattering news. But what is so interesting about that is that when Jesus is inviting us into a brand new life, that when Jesus is inviting us to an abundant life, he starts with the devil. He starts with this idea that there is an adversary, that there is a presence of evil, that the devil is present there that has this in mind: to steal, kill, and destroy. And that affects all of us. It touches every single one of us. Now, what Jesus does is he invites us. He invites us to turn away from this. But what we are in fact turning away from is that when we think for a minute, and this is the part, now this we all know, but as we come to that next part, and if we really think, well, what is this? What does it mean to steal? Well, it comes to, if we could, let's get the next slide up. Thanks. This is average thinking right here. This is an average spiritual life. When we become so focused on the idea of what, well, Jesus reminds us, we get so focused on what are we going to lose? What is it that we are going to lose? How is it going to affect me? What do I have? What do I stand to lose? And also, how is it going to hurt me? And then destroy. What can never change? What is that part of my spiritual life that I am never going to give over to God? What is that part that I'm afraid of? What is that part that I'm fearful of? And this is what I think is so extraordinarily helpful for us as we begin to not only think about a brand new year, but as we begin to think about what is going to be that is going to shift me from not just an average spiritual life, but to an amazing spiritual life. It is that part of us that says, you know, no matter what the presence of evil, no matter what the presence of Satan has done in this world, that I'm not going to live in the fear that Satan is inviting me to embrace. That what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow God to really shape my life into an amazing spiritual life. If you have not come across Hebrews chapter 12, I would encourage you to take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, particularly at this moment. On a day that we celebrate the light of Christ, on a day that we embrace the season of Christmas, I encourage you to consider this. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Do you remember what one of our children said this morning, that as we were standing under the manger, that the Savior of the world has been born? This is what we celebrate. There is a Savior that has been born. We recognize that Jesus is the pioneer. We recognize that Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. And we recognize that there is an enemy that is present that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we, today, have an opportunity to let go of any sin, an opportunity to let go of any weight that has been holding us back. It is not just positive thinking. It is not just setting our resolutions, setting our priorities. This is a day that together, that we have an opportunity to really imagine, what is my life with God going to look like over this next year? What is my life with God going to look like as I walk toward the more and better life that Jesus has offered to all of us? Because Jesus doesn't just come to us as a Savior that is born in a stable. Jesus invites us to come and to walk right beside Jesus, to walk right along with Jesus, to be led by Jesus, to let go of anything, any sin, to let go of any weight that has hung so close to us over this past year, to let go of those things that have drug us down, and to begin to walk in this more and better life with Jesus. What it is it's an opportunity for us on this first Sunday in a new year to begin to imagine, what is my life with Jesus going to look like this year? What can I be curious about in this very moment? Because what I want us to do is over these next few weeks in January to begin to imagine and to begin to get curious about this and say, what would our lives look like? If we determined that in our spiritual lives that we are going to go beyond average and we're going to begin to create lives that are amazing. And it's not just me that invites us, because away from John chapter 10, if you go to John chapter 14, verse 12, this is what Jesus will invite. This is the more and better life that Jesus invites us to embrace. Very truly I tell you that the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will now do greater works than these. This is what the more and better life with Jesus looks like. In fact, it was. To take us all the way back to the season of Advent, just a few weeks ago, but to go back to the season of Advent when the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary. And the angel Gabriel begins to invite Mary to imagine what God is going to do in her life. And then very quickly to show Mary what God is going to do in the world. Mary asks that question, well, how can this be? And Gabriel reminds her. It's Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. You see, this is what John 10:10 reminds us of, is that truly nothing is impossible with God, that the more and better life that Jesus invites us to walk into, that's available to every single one of us, and much like it is for Mary, is that the way that we create this spiritual life and the way that we shift from just average, routine, ordinary into an amazing spiritual life, it affects every single one of us. It affects all of us. Matthew 17, verse 20 reminds us that very truly I tell you, Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And how many of you believe that? How many of you believe that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, that we are able to say to this mountain, move, and nothing will truly be impossible with you? And much like what we do hold together and what we do know together, that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, I think that we also know these words, that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, that we will be able to say to this mountain, move, and it will move, for that nothing is impossible with us. But I think there's a gap, and it's a gap that all of us experience between knowing something in our heads and then doing it. And that's what I really want to challenge us on this first Sunday of a brand new year, is that how can we begin to close that gap, to close that gap about what we know in our heads, and most of the time, what we truly believe in our hearts. How do we close that gap between what we know in our heads and what we believe in our hearts? How do we begin to practice it? And I think what's really important, and particularly on this first Sunday in a new year, is to come to a place where we really do confess. You know, I do have this gap. I do have this gap between knowing and doing. And let me tell you, everything that I'm sharing with you, this is a process. These were the prayers that I took with me in the first week of November. So I realize I've been living with this a little bit longer than maybe you have. But I will say this too, that from November to this Sunday, it's made me really excited to imagine us collectively together to say to ourselves, what is going to move us? What is going to move us just one step closer, where we're going beyond the way that we normally and ordinarily do things, from this average to amazing? I mean, imagine this. Imagine your spiritual life with an emphasis that was on doing over knowing, or with an emphasis on finally beginning to practice, finally beginning to live what we do hold in our hearts, what we do hold in our heads. And again, realizing that I've been living with this a little bit longer than you, what I want to invite you to do is to really say, you know, there are times in all of our lives, and it's been true with me, but there's times in all of our lives when those things that we believe in our hearts, those things that we hold in our heads, that we don't always act on them, that we don't always take that next step and act on them and get, we know it, but we don't always follow through with it. And so what I want to invite you is to begin to ask yourself, you know, is any of this resonating? Does any of this touch you in any way? And do you want to have this? Do you want to be able to say that the life that I have with God, that the life that I'm going to embrace, that my spiritual life that I'm going to have, that I don't want it to be average. I don't want it to be mediocre. I want it to be amazing. God has come to me through the birth of Jesus Christ, and I want to take advantage of that. And I want to have this amazing spiritual life in a brand new year. And so today, as we come to the end of my sermon, as we come to the end of my preaching, I want you to consider this. I want you to consider, what's it going to take? Now again, Jesus reminds us. Jesus says that there was one, that there is an enemy, there is an adversary, that there is Satan, there is the devil, there is a presence of evil that doesn't want us to do this. There was a presence of the devil that is operating in our world that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come so that we can have a more and better life. A more and better life than any of us could dream of, that any of us could imagine. And so on this first Sunday in January, I want you to begin to consider, what's it going to take? What is it going to take from me? Now, notice this. Very much like Elizabeth, very much like Mary, very much like Joseph, very much like the shepherds, very much like the wise men, all of this to move in our own spiritual lives from average to amazing, it's going to be different paths, right? It's going to be different directions. It's going to be different paths. It's going to be different things that it's going to take from every single one of us. But the good news is that God has brought us together for this purpose. God has brought us together for this purpose, that as we do take our own individual, our own spiritual past together, as we begin to see that sin and that weight that keep clinging to us, that keep tripping us up, that as we begin to let that go, God has brought us together in a place like this. God has brought us together in a space like this to cheer one another on, to be present with one another through all these journeys. And again, together, that is the way that we truly begin to honor the Savior of our world, who is Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many opportunities that you give us as we come into your presence. And Lord, on this day, we thank you. Oh Lord, for your personal call that you place on all our lives. Lord, you have called us all to grow in grace. In fact, in our own tradition, our own heritage as United Methodist, you have invited us all to seek that perfection that is before us in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we truly take each step to walk in that more and better life that Jesus invited us to embrace. And as we assemble together, Lord, at your holy table that is set before us, may you make room in our hearts so that we certainly may decrease and that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, may truly increase in our lives. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.